Luke chapter 8 is the text for this morning's sermon, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 18. Hear once again God's word. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 18. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. The Scriptures not only teach us about the power of God's word preached or proclaimed, but they also instruct us about the importance of being faithful hearers to that word that is preached and proclaimed. You see, folks, it's not enough to simply come to church faithfully. We must also come ready to hear the word faithfully. God's word places a great amount of responsibility upon everybody that hears his word read or preached. This message is especially relevant for us today because many of us have lost that ability to learn by listening. I include myself in this. We tend to have lost that art or that gift or that ability to learn by listening. Many of us have become casual or even lazy listeners. And one of the major culprits for this condition is the television, believe it or not. Now, before I continue talking about the negative effects that TV has had in our lives, it's important for you to know that I don't think watching TV is evil or that Christians shouldn't watch it. That's not my position at all. But, like most things, when they are not used moderately, when they are used immoderately, when they are abused, they can be a curse. When they're used moderately, they can be a blessing and a joy. With that said, television has most certainly had a negative effect in the way that we process information today. Consider, if you would, the area of politics. Many of you are old enough, I'm not one of them, but some of you are, to recall the televised presidential debate between Kennedy and Nixon. Well, it's generally believed that Kennedy won that debate simply because he had a better stage presence about him. Many believe Nixon performed better. But because of the lighting, it appeared as though he had a 5 o'clock shadow, and the heat from the lighting caused him to sweat, which people interpreted to be nervousness on his part. On the other hand, Kennedy had been packaged for TV. He had been packaged for TV. From that point on, in many political races, determining the best politician has gone from one who has the most ability to the one who looks the most handsome and put together. Now, this can be seen further in how each candidate presents his views and debates the views of his opponent. When you take a look at the political debates and the political speeches before the days of the television, you will notice that they had much more substance. Much more substance. The arguments were well-reasoned and well thought out, and they were fairly lengthy compared to today's. Now, keep in mind, these were speeches that these candidates would give. They were speeches, and therefore, people had to be good listeners in order to know where each candidate stood and why he stood the way he did on the particular issues of the day. Now, generally speaking, this isn't the case anymore, right? Nowadays, the only thing that we are trained to listen to are for sound bites. Really, think about it. That's what we're trained to listen for and to look for, are sound bites. We've been trained to simply listen for a particular phrase or an expression or perhaps even a sarcastic remark, and that's what we zero in on. We think, oh, that was great. You know, that was great. How profound. We don't have to follow arguments because there usually aren't well-reasoned arguments that need to be followed, right? It's all about sound bites and appearance, and part of the reason behind that is pretty much the case. It's all we can digest as a society today. We can't digest much more than that. Now, the second area that we see the effect of TV in the way that we process information can be seen in the way that many of our children are educated in our day. With the introduction of things like Sesame Street and Blue's Clues and Barney, many are teaching their kids that all learning should be fun. That all learning should be easy and even passive to some extent. You can just sort of sit your kids in front of the TV for a few hours and you think through, you know, they're going to be smarter for it. They're going to learn, and this is going to be something that's going to enable them to learn more in the future. But really, when such parents teach their kids this, they're teaching their kids the wrong lesson. Children, learning is not always fun and easy. Sorry to burst your bubble, but learning is not always fun and easy. Rather, learning can often be hard and tedious and require a lot of effort on our part. To learn requires a student to be actively engaged with the mind. Sitting in front of the TV won't likely teach children how to be good hearers. Again, I'm not saying it's evil to allow your children to watch TV, but we need to pay attention to what are we training them? What are we instilling within them as far as learning is concerned. A child that spends most of his early years in front of a TV will likely have trouble coming to church and following a sermon. Okay? Many of you can attest to this fact. This is one of the reasons even many adults today struggle with paying attention to sermons, because we were raised the same way, right? And so it's had an effect on us in the way that we process information. As you might have guessed, the third area that we see the effect of TV in the way that we process information is in the way many people listen to sermons. When we compare the generation of God's people of old to us today, there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between us and them. The pastors back in the day prepared lengthy sermons with many points and subpoints, and the Puritans were especially known for having really long sermons, right? You certainly, many of you have read Puritan sermons. They are long. They're long. The saints of old, who had to sit in the pews, were able to give their attention to these sermons. That's an amazing thing to consider, too. Now, granted, we shouldn't assume that they were perfect hearers. Just because they were living back in the day doesn't mean they didn't have any effects of sin that we have in our life, too. But it's also not to say that the days of the Puritans, I want to please understand this. I'm not trying to highlight that period as the golden age of the church and that's the only bright light that the church has ever experienced. That's not the point. But rather, the point is simply this. The point is simply made to compare how the saints were able back then to listen to more lengthy sermons before the introduction of things like the television into our society. So, okay, the point being is that they were likely better hearers than we are today by nature. They were accustomed to listening with their ears to learn. Okay? It's especially true during the days in which most of the people were illiterate. If you couldn't read a sermon or if you couldn't read the scriptures, you had to go to church and be a good hearer to hear what was being taught and what was being preached. Now, the truth is, the average person in the average pew today cannot pay attention to a sermon with more than 3 points, and that's only if all 3 points have a catchy illustration to go with each point. That's typically what we're talking about. That's the situation of the church, broadly speaking, in our day and age. And since we're told that the average adult attention span is no more than 15 to 20 minutes, the average length of the sermon now in many churches is 15 to 20 minutes. And then the rest of the time of the service is spent keeping people busy clapping or singing or watching others perform for them on a stage. Right? Why is that? Think about that. Indeed, this is why many worship services incorporate multimedia presentations and why many churches are more concerned with entertainment than content. This is the day and the age in which we live. This is a reality. You see, again, we have to be trained. We have been trained only to listen to sound bites and to learn with our eyes. We haven't been trained to listen to an argument or to learn only with our ears. And if you think about it, this is also the reason why people think making a movie about the gospel, like The Passion of the Christ, has proven to be more popular in communicating the gospel than the preaching of the word. Right? In the mind of some, the screen, the big screen, is the best way to communicate the gospel message. But that's not what God has ordained. It is for these reasons that those who sit under the priest's word must learn to be faithful hearers. And by the way, one of the things that we learn from the second commandment is the importance of hearing over seeing. Think about that. We all have that need to learn. We have all that we need to learn about God in life in His written word, read and preached. The Lord could have given it. Think about this. The Lord could have given us His word in the form of a video. If God wanted to convey something via a video to us, He certainly could have done that, right? He could have done that, and He could have gone further. And He could have made, in fact, He could have made a personal appearance every time He wanted to speak. God could do that. It's within His prerogative to do that. He's God. He can do whatever He wants. But He didn't choose to reveal Himself that way, did He? How did God choose to reveal Himself? Through His written word. Through His written word. That is the means that He has chosen to communicate with us. So with that lengthy introduction, I recognize it was lengthy. This morning, we will consider what is required of those who hear the word preached. And those of you familiar with the larger catechism will know that there's a question and answer that deals specifically with this question. That's question and answer number 160. If you have a sheet in front of you, it should be found on the front of the sheet there. Let me just read to you the question and answer. What is required of those that hear the word preached? It is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the Scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, and meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate and confer of it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. According to the answer, the first thing required of us as faithful hearers is that we attend upon the preached word with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Folks, in order to be faithful hearers of God's word preached, we need to be under the word preached faithfully. Let me repeat that. In order to be a faithful hearer of God's word preached, we need to be under the word preached faithfully. If we are to attend upon the preaching with diligence, we must be diligent in our church attendance. It's kind of like being a student. To be a good student, you need to go to class regularly. If you make it a habit to miss classes, you won't learn what you're supposed to learn. You miss a lesson here, you miss a lesson there, you're missing important information that the Lord would have for you. But just like a student, you need to do more than simply show up for class. You also need to be diligent in your studies. There's more to learning than simply going to school, and there's more to faithful hearing than simply showing up to church and sitting under the preaching. To be a faithful hearer, we need to be diligent in how we listen to the word. Now, as we have read from the parable, there is an emphasis placed upon listening to God's word. In fact, the final words of the parable tell us that we are to take heed how we hear God's word. Right? It's exactly what Jesus says. We are to take heed how we hear God's word. To take heed is more than simply showing up and passively listening to the preached word. It requires that we be diligent. That's what is required of us. To be diligent at something means to approach it actively and painstakingly. It's to be actively engaged in hearing. Now, this is something, I admit, that doesn't come easy. It does not come easy. It takes hard work and perseverance. It's something that we all need to work at. And when you think about it, this is one of the reasons why what we are doing here this morning is called and referenced as a worship service. You ever wonder why we call this time together a worship service? Worship is a service. It is. It's something we render unto God. Okay? In fact, both in the Hebrew and the Greek words for worship carry with them that idea of service, as in serving, like a servant to a master. And just as we prepare ourselves for work in other areas of life, we must prepare ourselves to be faithful hearers of God's word. See, when you think about it, when you go to work, every day that you go to work, you have to make certain preparations. You have to do it, right? Most of us shower, we eat, we make sure we have gas in the car to get to work, make sure we leave the house in time to get to work on time. We make sure that we either have our lunch or that we have our lunch money with us. We prepare ourselves for work every day. Additionally, you students also prepare yourselves for school every day, don't you? If you had homework, then you make sure you have it ready to turn in for the next class. If you have to take a test, you make sure you studied that for that test in order to do well, right, on the test. Well, in a similar way, each of us is to prepare ourselves for worship. Again, to reference Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1, we're told there to walk prudently when you go to the house of God and to draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. So as we are approaching worship, we are to walk prudently as we approach. And as we do come to worship, we are to come ready to hear. Ready to hear. So therefore, part of preparing ourselves for faithful hearing is faithful living. Part of preparing ourselves for faithful hearing is faithful living. The faithful hearer is busy practicing and applying what he learned from the previous sermon in order to prepare himself to hear the coming sermon. Okay? You see, the faithful hearer is always in a situation where he's either remembering what he has heard and putting it into practice, or he's preparing himself for what he's about to hear. So one day a week, he comes ready to hear, and the other 6 days, he is practicing what he's already heard. Now, there are a number of ways that we can prepare ourselves to be faithful hearers. And first, we need to prepare our minds. We need to prepare our minds. In Acts chapter 17 and 11, it says some good things about the Bereans. You remember the Bereans, right? And one of the things that we are told about the Bereans is that they were fair or noble-minded. And the reason for it is that they received the word with all readiness of mind. With all readiness of mind. That's what we might call mental alertness, right? They were mentally alert to the word that they were receiving. Now, part of preparing ourselves to be faithful hearers involves approaching worship with a mind ready to work. A mind ready to listen. In order to be a faithful hearer, we need to come to church with a rested mind. In other words, we need to have allowed our mind and our bodies to rest the night before. This means we ought to make sure that we're getting ourselves to bed at a reasonable time on Saturday night. And I must confess, I didn't do that last night, and I even kept some people up a little later than we would have liked last night. But this is the general rule. We ought to strive to get good rest for our body and soul, our minds, on Saturday night. Now, this has been said before, but it's worth repeating. Sabbath keeping, or keeping the Lord's Day holy, begins the night before, and some would say even the week before. That preparations need to be made for coming to the Lord's Day. We cannot come to worship with a rested mind a mind ready to work if we've stayed out really late the night before. Nor can we come well prepared if we fail to get a good night's rest. As most of us know, it's difficult and challenging enough to give our full attention to all that is going on in worship with a rested mind, right? Even when you come fully rested and you feel like you've got your rest and you're ready to sit and to listen, even then it's hard to listen. So how much more difficult is it when you're not rested and ready? Now, I like this. J.G. Voss has well noted that sleeping during church services is sometimes blamed on the preacher. But where one or two members fall asleep and all the rest have no difficulty in staying awake, it's probably not the preacher's fault. So I take a little bit of comfort in that. Not much, but a little bit. Another thing to keep in mind is who we are coming to listen to when we come to worship. When you come to worship, I pray you are not coming to hear me. I pray you're not coming to hear me. If you are, then I might understand why some of you might doze off on occasion. I mean, that would be the natural result. If you're only coming to hear a guy speak to you, well, then, you know, it's understandable. You're going to doze off. But the truth is, when a lawfully ordained man steps behind the pulpit, he does so as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So long as what he says is in agreement with the Word of God, he is God's herald. Okay? He is God's mouthpiece. And therefore, when we come to worship and we hear a lawfully ordained man preaching, insofar as what he preaches is in agreement with God's Word, we are hearing the words of Christ Himself. Okay? It's important for us to understand who we are coming to listen to when we come to worship. And so since that's the case, every one of us should be all the more diligent to have minds ready to hear what Jesus has to say to us from week to week. My former pastor said it well when he says, "Your level of attention and alertness is a true indicator of how much you value the Word of God." And so he says, "Show that you value God's Word by coming rested with a ready mind to hear." And I think that's a good point. It's one of the ways we can show that we value God's Word and value what Jesus has to say to us is by being rested and coming ready to hear, being prepared to hear. Another way by which we prepare our minds for worship is that we try to put out all thoughts not pertaining to God's Word. In other words, we don't come into the worship service thinking about what you have to do or what happened at work last week or yesterday, right? You've got to put that stuff out of your mind, at least during this time in which we're gathered together. So I encourage you, don't come to worship thinking about school or thinking about the other day-to-day activities of your week. Come with a mind rested and ready to worship, and ready to be transformed by the renewed and sanctified, and to be sanctified by the Word of God. That's the way in which we ought to come from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, ready to hear God's Word. I know it's hard. Every one of us has important things that are perhaps going to happen later on today, things that happened yesterday, things that are going to happen tomorrow that we're planning on. Important stuff. I'm not saying these are not important, but something even more important than all those things is happening right now, as you're sitting under the Word preached. Okay? Another way we prepare ourselves to be faithful hearers is by preparing our spirits. This involves setting aside time for the purpose of self-reflection, along with the time of confession of sin and repentance. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23, we're told there that if therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, you leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Now, if it's true of sin against our brother or sister, it must also be true of sins that we commit against our Lord, right? If we are worshiping the Lord, and we recall that the Lord has something against us, we should immediately go to the Lord and confess that sin and ask Him for forgiveness. We want to be made right in all the relationships that we have, whether it's with one another or with the Lord, especially with the Lord Himself. If there are sins in the home that need to be confessed and repented of, then do what you know you ought. Be reconciled and repent. When we come to worship with those things taken care of, it helps us to be faithful hearers of God's word. It's one less thing that's going to get in the way of us drawing near to the Lord. Another way we prepare ourselves to be faithful hearers is by preparing our wills and affections. We are told in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 that we are to long for the pure milk of the word like newborn babes. We are to long for God's word. We should have a strong desire to hear it. The psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 18 asked the Lord to open his eyes so that he could behold wonderful things from God's word. He longed to see and to know what God's word had to reveal to his heart and to his mind. That ought to be something that's on our heart, too. Now, if we come to find that week after week and month after month, we basically can't stand being at church and constantly bored to death as we sit here in this place, then we need to examine ourselves to see whether or not we are truly in the faith, because the one who's been truly transformed and been born again from above is going to have a longing desire, a hunger for God's word. You might recall how the men on the road to Emmaus stated how their hearts burned within them as Jesus spoke to them. But God's people have a strong desire to come to worship and to hear Jesus speak to them, right? That's something we ought to desire, something that ought to, some sort of a flame that ought to exist within our hearts, to desire to hear the words of our Savior. Now, if you find that you never have that desire, then something's wrong. And if that's the case, you need to spend some time contemplating where you're at with your Lord. Now we'll consider just one more area of preparation. The Catechism answer spoke of attending upon the Word with diligence, preparation, and prayer. We've already noted the importance of spending time with the Lord, examining our hearts and confessing our sins. But it's also important to be in prayer for your pastor, to be in prayer for the preacher, whoever he might be. A good passage of Scripture that makes the point well is in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verses 18 and 19. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As Paul coveted the prayers of the saints in order that he would be given unction by the power of the Holy Spirit, so do I covet your prayers that I would be enabled by God's grace to preach God's word faithfully to you, that by it you would all be blessed, and by it the Lord himself would be glorified. Now, please do be in prayer for me. I beg you, and I know that many of you do pray for me. I know that's the reason why I'm able to be up here from week to week. It's only by the enabling grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that I have anything to share with you from Lord's Day to Lord's Day and in times in between. Now, as you think about each Lord's Day, be in prayer throughout the week for the coming Lord's Day. But don't only pray on behalf of me. Don't only pray for me. Pray also for all who will be in attendance. Pray that God would not only give the unction of the Spirit to the minister, that he would proclaim God's word faithfully, but also pray that God's people would receive the word faithfully. And pray that those who are not yet in Christ would receive the word and be enabled to see the Lord Jesus and to be saved through the proclamation of the word. After all, this is a normal and ordinary means that God has chosen to use to convert, is the preached word. So it ought to be our prayer that God would be working in the hearts of people who are coming to attend the preached word. Now, at this point, we should all understand that none of us is as faithful a hearer as we ought to be. Amen? None of us is as faithful a hearer as we ought to be. Now, sadly, in this life, we never will be, right? That's a reality. But this fact should cause every one of us to run to Jesus all the more, right? The fact that we're not as faithful as we ought to be reminds us that we are sinners and reminds us that our only hope for forgiveness and righteousness is in Jesus Christ alone. Those who belong to him are forgiven, praise be to God, for all their sins. For those who belong to Him, He is our righteousness, and we can't add a single thing to our salvation. But with that said, the duty to be faithful hearers remains. We still have this duty placed before us, even though we're forgiven, even though the Lord understands our inabilities and our sinful nature and the ways in which we blow it in this area. It's still a duty, nevertheless. It's still something we need to strive for by His grace to be faithful at. The Lord, indeed, still commands us to take heed how we hear. And He still commands that we hear Him, that is, that we hear Jesus speak to us through His preached word. So rather than blow off all the obedience because we aren't perfect, which some people are prone to do, we should look to God and to His Spirit for the power to be faithful hearers. For we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, the Catechism answer from question 160 also speaks about things that we can do as we hear God's Word. I want to talk about that for just a few moments. Things that we can do as we hear God's Word. And the first thing mentioned along these lines is that faithful hearing involves examining what you hear by the Scriptures. And as you hear the Word preached, you need to be examining what you're hearing by the Scriptures. Again, you recall what Paul said about the Bereans in Acts 17:11. He called them noble or fair-minded because they not only received the word with readiness of mind, but they also examined the Scriptures daily to see if the things spoken of by Paul were so. That's what they're commended for. You have the same duty. You have the same duty. The faithful hearer will examine what he or she hears by the Scriptures. The Catechism answer also tells us that the faithful hearer will respond to the word preached faithfully. He will respond to the word preached faithfully. It says that he will receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Let's break this down very briefly. The faithful hearer will receive the truth as the word of God. Now, Paul commends the saints at Thessalonica for this very thing. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul praises God because the Thessalonians received his words not as the words of men, but as they were the very words of God himself. Okay, it's what he says there in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And as noted earlier, the word preached faithfully is the very word of God. So if we're convinced that God is speaking to us, the only right response is for us to receive it. Right? The only right response, if the word is being preached faithfully and conferring with the Scriptures, all the things that are spoken of by the preacher line up with the Scriptures, the only right response to that is to receive it. Now, as the answer stated, we receive the word first in faith. The writer of Hebrews notes that people who do not receive the faithfully preached word in faith are like the rebellious and unbelieving children of Israel in the wilderness. That was the great hallmark of a charge that God had against them. They did not believe. They persisted in unbelief. In Hebrews 4:2, we read this. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So it needs to be received by faith. Now, sadly, there may be some here in our midst today that have yet to join faith to the preaching of the Word. You may have been coming to church faithfully for quite some time and still have never profited from the reading or preaching of God's Word. You may be somebody who comes to church for many, many, many good reasons, but you have yet to know what it is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear His Word spoken to your heart. You may have tried to listen from time to time, but you continually find other things more important to think about during this time that we're gathered together. That may describe some of you. I hope not, but it may be the case that is the case. And as stated earlier, without a doubt, all of us struggle to be faithful hearers of God's Word. But some people may find that they don't struggle at all. That is, they don't care to hear at all. If that's where you're at this morning, if you've been coming to church week in and week out, never understanding anything and never caring to hear or understand, then you're not in a good state. Listen to what Jesus says about this. In John 8, in verse 43, Jesus says, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? He says, it is because you cannot hear my word. In verse 47 of the same chapter, he who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. So we need to be united to Christ in faith first if we are to receive his word. Right? So it's very important. If you find that you're not of God or in Christ this morning, then you need to know something very important. You're on the road to destruction. If you're outside of Christ this morning, you are on the road to destruction. If you continue along that road, then one day you will be cast into that eternal place of torment. Right now, the Spirit may be convicting you of your sin, convicting you of your unbelief, and convicting you of the truth of who Jesus Christ is. If you desire to live forever, if it's a desire of most people, right? We all want to live forever. But if you desire to live forever in peace and comfort and in the love of God, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Even right now, and you will be saved. Take heed how you listen right now. Right? And hear Him. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart, but believe on Him that you might be saved. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. And it is my prayer that there may be some here this morning who are not yet in Christ that will hear this gracious message today and believe on Him for salvation. Now, the next thing the Catechism states is that we are to receive the Word of God with love. We're to receive it with love. You see, some people simply will not receive certain teachings from God's Word. That's just the way it is. Some people will not receive certain teachings from God's Word with love. For example, some people might hear a sermon on the doctrine of something like election, or a sermon on some other topic that they don't agree with, and simply refuse to receive it, first of all. And then if they do kind of believe it, they might be apologetic about it or not receive it in love or with love, right? They don't love the doctrine that is being taught. They might say it's a doctrine that they don't like, that they don't like to think about, that they don't like to talk about. And so they don't love that portion of God's Word or that teaching from God's Word. But we need to understand that whatever God's Word teaches comes from God. His Word is pure. We are to receive His Word with love. And not only are we to receive it, we are to love it. As the psalmist expresses in the psalm, he says, God's Word is pure, right? Enlightening the eyes. It's to be desired more than finest gold, and its words are sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. A child of God loves God's Word. He delights in it and in all that it teaches. I think it's important for us to grasp because, it's sometimes hard for us to receive truths that are taught. Some are more difficult to understand and to accept than others, but we need to pray that God will give us a love for whatever is clearly taught in His Word. We have to love everything that we are taught from Him. Now next, we're told that we are to receive the faithfully preached Word as the Word of God with meekness. In other words, we're to receive the Word with humility. As you listen to the Word being preached, this isn't the time, while the Word is being preached, this is not the time to entertain thoughts about how poor of a sermon was preached, or to think about the fact that you might know the subject matter that's being preached better than the preacher. That's not the time to deal with these kinds of thoughts, okay? Those things may be true. It may be true. It may be, in fact, the case that it was a poorly structured sermon or a poorly delivered sermon. It may be, in fact, the case that for some reason or another, the sermon didn't come across very well, and you think, well, you know, boy, he missed that point, he missed that point, he missed the other point. Boy, didn't he ever read so-and-so or so-and-so? You can go in every which direction as the Word is being preached before you, and what's the end result of that? You end up not receiving the Word. You end up robbing yourself of what the Lord has for you because you're so concerned with the minister and how poor a specimen he is of a preacher. But if we truly believe what was said earlier, that when a minister who is lawfully ordained by the Lord gets behind the pulpit, and insofar as what he says is in agreement with God's Word, is God's Word itself, then we ought to be ready to receive that Word with humility. not to puff ourselves up and to think we know more or other things like this. It's the time to be humble and to say, Lord, what do you have for me? How will you feed me today as your child? Well, then we're told that we are to receive the faithfully preached word as the word of God with readiness of mind. Now, we've already considered that, so we're going to move then to the conclusion by giving our thought to what we're to do after we hear the word preached, and we're coming to the end here. What we're to do after we hear the word preached faithfully. Again, the answer tells us that we are to meditate upon it. We're to meditate upon it. Psalm 1 tells us about the blessings of the one who delights in God's word and meditates on it day and night. The one who meditates on God's word will be, we're told, like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. But as you know, I'm sure you know, we are not to stop at meditation. Catechism also tells us that we ought to confer of the faithfully preached word, to confer upon it. In other words, we should talk. We should talk about the points of the sermon with one another. We should talk about what we have heard from the Lord with one another. We again look to the men on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24 and verse 14. Before they ran to Jesus, we read, they were conversing with each other about all the things which had taken place. And then in Luke 24 and verses 22 to 25, we are told that the two men spoke to one another about their encounter with Jesus and his teaching and how they went back to Jerusalem and then conversed with others about their experience. In other words, they had heard teaching from Jesus. And what do they want to do? They've heard the word preached by the Savior himself. They want to go and take it to others. They want to talk about it. They want to share what it is that they've been encouraged by and how they've learned from the Savior. Now, this is something that Christians have a hard time doing. Many times, as soon as the benediction is pronounced, we find ourselves in conversations about all sorts of things unrelated to the message that we just heard. Oftentimes, we end up talking about some things that maybe not even are even appropriate to be talked about on the Lord's Day. But now, this isn't to say that we shouldn't be wanting to know about what's going on in each other's lives. Don't get me wrong on that. I think there's a place for the fellowship, and there's certainly a place for conversations about other things that are going on in our lives. But right after the benediction is pronounced, you know, it's indeed appropriate to go say hi to somebody, how are you doing? But there should be something within us that wants to talk about what we just heard. And not in a critical way either. Again, this is another thing I think it's important to say is that, you know, right after the word is preached is also not the time to go to somebody and say, can you believe what he just said? Can you believe what a terrible sermon or whatever the case might be? It might it might have been a terrible sermon, but don't do that so soon after the sermon was preached, because you end up robbing people and one another. Somebody else might not have been that critical of it, and now you've shared with that particular thing with them. And now they've been robbed of what it was, you know, they might have benefited from by the sermon. But it's appropriate, though, that we should want to talk about these things. I mean, you just heard something. Surely, I would hope that it's given you cause to think about something in a different light or wonder how it is that particular doctrine would apply in our lives in various ways. This is a very good and appropriate thing to talk with one another about after the sermon, after the benediction. So the point in all this is that we come to worship expecting to hear from our Lord. So we should want to, when we do hear from the Lord, we should want to talk with one another what we heard. Now, another way we fulfill this is by speaking about the message of the sermon when we get home, or perhaps even on our way home in the car. This is a good time for you parents to see how much your children might have understood as to what happened in the service. And for those of you who have children that have a hard time understanding, this is also the time for you then to be able to break down the sermon into bite-sized pieces for you to feed your children in ways that only you know how. A minister cannot possibly know how each of your children learns. You as parents know how to best present things to your children. So this is a perfect opportunity on your way home or when you get home to say, you know, hey son or hey daughter, you know, what did you hear? And, you know, get a feel for what they heard or didn't hear, And if they didn't hear certain things, it's now your opportunity to feed them the preached word, to share with them things that will be an encouragement to them as they grow up in the Lord. Now, the catechism explains that we are to hide the word in our hearts. And this means more than simply memorizing scripture, but it certainly includes that. It means to keep the truths that we learned in our mind and to keep on thinking about them and reflecting on them in all areas of our lives. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, it says that David says that he has hidden the word in his heart that he sin not against the Lord, right? That's what he says. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding God's word in our heart will keep us to not sin against the Lord. It's a very good thing that we should desire to hide the word in our hearts. And then finally, the catechism answer ends by telling us that after hearing the word preached faithfully, we're to bring forth the fruit of it in our lives. This concurs with what James tells us in chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "Do not prove yourselves doers of the word, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Right? Be doers of the word, not merely people who hear and don't apply what they heard. Now, in order to be a good doer of the word, you need to be a good hearer. It's important that you hear God's message and then consider ways in which you can be a doer of it. You can think of it as sort of when you think about it, this might help, sort of like a time-released capsule. You take the message home with you, and as you think about it throughout the week, you can look for opportunities to apply those truths in your life throughout the week, right? The faithful hearer will bear good fruit. The scriptures tell us that we will know people, whether they be of God or not, by their fruit. A very practical way to go about this is to pick just, if you want to think about how can I apply this principle right now? Well, here's how you can do it. Pick just one thing from today's message that you will resolve to do and that you will pray for God's grace to be able to do. Just one thing. Many things were shared with you today, but I think you all are able to take one thing and say, you know what, that's something I'm going to set my heart on. That's something I'm going to pray that the Lord will help me to do better. Do that. Because it's very important that we do this because of this. The preaching of the word is not just for your information. It's for your transformation. Surely we're not coming here simply that we might get a catalog of information that we can just have up in our heads to be able to debate and dialogue with other people about. The purpose of the word preached is that we might be sanctified, that we might grow closer to the Lord, right? So if we learn to put these principles into practice, we will learn to be faithful hearers, and we will then profit from the word. As families, applying these principles will also teach your children how to grow up to be faithful hearers from the preached word. So as you do this, mom and dad, and you older siblings, the younger ones will come along too and recognize the importance of learning to be a faithful hearer. And so because we've been affected by the way that we have by the television, getting back to the introduction, we then need to go out of our way to train our children and ourselves how to be faithful hearers. We need to be deliberate and learning how to be faithful hearers. And we can do that in various ways. First, for our children, as stated earlier, you can talk with them about the points of the sermon so that you can make sure that they're getting what they need, right? Make sure they're getting need. Both children and adults can profit better by making notes and taking notes during the sermon. I see a lot of you taking notes. This is a good thing. It's a good thing. This will help you stay awake. If you struggle with staying awake, it helps you to stay awake, right? Taking notes. And it also, notes are very helpful as you chew on the message throughout the week, and you can, again, break it down in bite-sized pieces for the rest of your family members if that's needed. Well, I'm going to close with a word from my former pastor. And he said this. We'll close here. He said, "Some ways to cultivate our ability to think, to reason, and listen with an active mind are to first of all not use all of our free time doing mindless entertainment. Read the scriptures. Read theological works. Read something of importance and value, something that challenges you to think and at the same time build up your knowledge of the word. Or listen to sermon tapes or CDs throughout the week. It gives you one more opportunity to be a faithful hearer of God's word. The more you do it, the easier it will become. Amen. Please join your hearts with me in prayer now.